One of the distinguishing things about Mentor Connect is that our particular mentoring model has the longest runway. We start with teams the earliest and work with them the longest in advance of the proposal deadline. We take our applicants in the fall, and we actually kick off our work with them the 1st of December, and we work with them from that point until those proposals go in October. And this really helps where you've got overloaded faculty and people that are very busy and have very little time to devote to this, or in institutions where faculty are not under contract in the summer. So you really need to get these proposals pretty much written before they take off for the summer if you're going to get them in first thing in the fall. We have in-person workshops. As I said, we've got several models. Some are virtual, some are in-person. We do in-person workshops plus the virtual webinars to provide technical support throughout the grant development process. As with the other mentoring initiatives, there's no cost for participation because ATE is funding this project to make this help available to you and your faculty and administrators and grant professionals. And as I mentioned before, our guidance extends through the negotiation, which is that part that you of working with NSF once your proposal is being considered for funding, and the funding process itself, which takes place in another part of NSF where they examine your budget and look at your policies and procedures and things like that. After you get your first award, we do have a program called PI 101 or Principal Investigator 101, which is a new course that we offer that helps your new principal investigators navigate that first year of project implementation and meet the expectations and not be quite so frantic because it's a lot and it's more than just implementing the project. There are a lot of other things that you have to do, like reporting and all that we help with. And we have other types of mentoring too. We have second chance mentoring. Even though our funding rates are good across these programs, and most of the people we work with do get a grant award, not everybody does. There will be declined, this is the word NSF used, declined proposals every year, those that they have chosen or decided not to fund. And so, but they encourage you to take the reviewer feedback, rework them, and resubmit them. And we do one-on-one mentoring to help people rework and resubmit a proposal that was declined. And then if once you got a first grant, we want you to apply for another one. So we can supply mentors for those that are moving up to a larger project, more money, the different funding opportunities that ATE offers. Okay, Beth, I think we're ready to move on. Our eligibility for Mentor Connect is twofold. One is for institutions who are new to ATE. That means that you have not had an NSF ATE grant award that was made within the last 7 years or ever. But we have another category of eligibility, which of new to ATE, and that is for faculty who are new to ATE. And if you have faculty members who have not been principal investigators or co-principal investigators on grants, they are now a team with those faculty members as part of the team, are eligible to participate in the Mentor Connect mentoring, cohort mentoring with the workshops and so forth. We find that is really pretty essential to building capacity across your college and to getting these ATE grants into multiple departments. It's really tough for any of these faculty who've never done it before to do it on their own. So we're pleased to be able to help these new to ATE faculty now. The second chance I've already mentioned to you, as well as the moving up, the application deadlines are on this screen. As I mentioned, we take our cohort mentoring applications in the fall, make our decisions about teams and so forth. And we do work with as many as 26 teams a year. So we have a good bit of capacity for helping you. We have a rolling deadline on second chance that's usually dependent on when they get letters from NSF saying their proposal is declined. And for moving up, we like to get the applications in by April 1st, but we're pretty flexible and we like to say yes and help people when they need help. So next slide, please. We do have a 3-day grant writing workshop in the winter. In fact, I'm leaving Monday to go to the one we're having this year, and it's going to be in New Orleans. We assign each team an experienced mentor. We have technical assistance webinars throughout the spring and into the summer to take a deep dive into things like budget and budget justifications and filling out all these forms for NSF, doing the evaluation plans as expected, and that sort of thing. We reconvene in person for a 1-day workshop in association with the High Impact Technology Exchange Conference, which we call HITECH, in the summer. And our participants come to that 1-day workshop, and then we pay the registration fee and travel for them to stay and take advantage of this conference. The HITECH conference is actually put on each year by NSF-ATE grantees, although it's open to any of the educators. And so the conference supports and helps educate and professionally develop a broad range of educators, mostly 2-year college educators. But there are some industry and other people come. We have an online resource library. It's unique in the system. It is dedicated to materials for NSF-ATE grant writing. I mentioned our help desk, which we actually answer the phone and get back to you very quickly. We offer travel support to come to these 2 workshops for a team of 4, and we have stipends for faculty. Next slide, please. From this map, you can see the reach of Mentor Connect since 2012. We have hit most states in the nation, and we have also included U.S. territories. So we've had 2 territories in 43 states in the 12. We are working with our 12th cohort of prospective grantees this year. Next slide, please. 86% of those that have worked with us since 2012 have submitted proposals, and 72% have received new to ATE grants, compared to about 26% overall funding rate at NSF. So you can see that by participating in one of these mentoring initiatives, Mentor Connect or one of the others, it greatly increases the probability that your first proposal is going to be funded. It's no guarantee, but it certainly greatly increases the probability, and the data we have reflects that. Next slide, please. This is how to reach us at mentor-connect.org. That telephone number is our help desk, and we hope you'll reach out to us, and we would love to work with the team from your college to get you into the ATE program or keep you in the ATE program. Thanks, Bev.
Thank you, Elaine. And at this point, we're going to pause for maybe 2-3 minutes to see if there are any questions specifically for Mentor Connect. I'm going to let Pam guide us through that process.
Okay, thank you, Beth. I haven't seen any questions in the chat. And looking at the time, if people do have questions, let's encourage them to add them into the chat and we will stay on, but we'll get finished so all of the initiatives can talk about their timing within the hour. So we will do questions at the end, so definitely stay on. Our speakers will be able to answer any questions you might have. So I think that we are now going to welcome Liz to talk about Mentor Up.
Yes, thank you very much, Pam. Good decision. Okay. Okay, so Dr. Tellis, can you tell us about the Mentor Up initiative?
Thank you so much. And again, Elaine did a great job of talking about the value of mentoring. And again, all of us are with you and are anxious to help you provide all these competitive proposals. So we look forward to hearing from you as we go along. So next slide. I want to tell you a little bit about the Mentor Mentor Up initiative. It's called Mentor Up, but it's actually for anybody that's interested in a technician education. So we'll take ones that are new to ATE, we'll take ones that have been declined, we'll take ones that have had one grant or multiple grants. If you're interested in a proposal writing workshop and activity, we will welcome any of you to these. Because our whole purpose is to broaden knowledge, build capacity, and increase access and information to the ATE program. The ATE program is one of the longest running federal programs. We're excited since 1991. It was when it was originally funded. And so we want you to be part of it. So again, it's for the one of the unique things about Mentor Up, and we'll try to make sure we know, we're accepting ones now and by until April 15th for this October's deadline. So we're a little shorter than they are. So if you're interested, then we'll help you provide and develop a proposal for this fall. Although occasionally one decides to wait a year or two, and then we continue helping with them. So what are some of our activities? Again, we support a faculty team that's supported by a grant writer and or an administrator, and we assign a mentor to you no later than April 15th, 2024, and usually as soon as after we accept you to the program. So what do we have? If we start on April 15th or earlier even, you'll work with an individual mentor working through some questions that we've developed that we think really help people get together the resources and the people they need for competitive proposals. One of our unique things is that our workshop is virtual. So it's all over Zoom. We found that we still have the same success rate as the other ones. And so we're continuing to work with this. We started during the pandemic, and then we realized that this is an alternative way for people to participate in a mentoring workshop. So ours is virtual. We had this virtual workshop in early June that we'll talk about. It is a required part. We have three subsequent webinars that help you with specific things, all those forms you have to fill out, evaluation, and filling out the budgets too. And then we continue to support all the way through negotiations. And if you're one of the few that's not funded, we'll help you with a resubmission too. So again, many of the same things, but again, our method for giving this is virtual, and it is for this fall. So that's two of the differences. Next slide. So we want you to register no later than April 1, but it's out there and it's open now. So atementorup.org, that's pretty easy to remember. Again, we'll assign you a mentor no later than April 15th, but we usually will do it sooner. The virtual workshop date is June 5th to the 7th. That's a Wednesday to Friday. We found out that works better for faculty than trying to do it Mondays to Wednesdays. So we're doing it Wednesday to Friday. Usually starts around 11 o'clock in the morning to allow people from the West Coast or even Hawaii to join us, not in the middle of the night. So, and it's about 5 to 6 hours per day for Wednesday and Thursday, and a little bit shorter on Friday. One of our most popular activities are our mock panels, where we help people with those. So there are stipends for two faculty members who participate. And if they actually then submit a proposal, there's another $250 per each one. A unique thing that we do is if you have a draft proposal ready by late August or early September, and you submit it to your mentor — we work through the mentors here — but the mentor then will send it either to myself or Kathleen Alfano, who are both former ATE program officers, and we'll give you a written review. Both of us have reviewed, I wouldn't say thousands of proposals, but sometimes it feels like that. And so we give you written feedback. We found out that those who work really enough — I'll tell you our success rate in a few minutes — is similar to Elaine's at 72%. But those that take the advantage of having that proposal written early and getting a written review by either Kathleen or myself, success rate for those is somewhere between 85 and 90%. So, you know, we don't really know what's happened last year. So that's a little bit of a unique thing in ours workshop. Next slide. But we have a new opportunity for you this year, and I hope a lot of you on the call today, or the Zoom call today, will take advantage of this. And some of you think you might know, but you really just don't know if you've got an idea that fits into the ATE program. So if you want to just chat with a mentor to kind of find out if what you want to do is eligible, if it fits well into the ATE program, just go out there and fill out the form and a mentor will contact you shortly. Kathleen or I have been doing most of these contacts, the original contact. So after we contact you and chat with you, we can talk about is, would you like to have a, what I'd call, it's a mentor, but it's a kind of pre-mentor who will help you develop this competitive mentor up application. Elaine says they have up to about 26. Our capacity right now is for up to 16. Because it's virtual, sometime we want to help everybody who wants help. So sometime we'll stretch that a little bit. We just have to make sure we've got enough good mentors for you. But if you want a pre-mentor, we just ask you that you find time to meet with this pre-mentor for 10 hours or so up between now and March 15th. We will, for those of you who participate in the pre-mentoring, we will give preference to those who've gone through this and participate this if they get it in, and they can submit by March 15th and you'll be given preference, although our deadline is April 15th. There is a stipend available for those who do the pre-mentoring. This is in addition to what it is for the mentoring. The stipend is $250 for each of two faculty members, but you have to actually submit an application to be eligible for that. But pre-mentoring is not required for submission, but it's just something if you want to. If you don't want to go out to that form and actually fill that out, although we encourage you to do that, you can just send me a short little email with, you know, again, a paragraph telling me what it is that you think you'll be, because it needs to be eligible for the program. Next slide, Beth. So what do you have to have for the formal application? You've got to have a one-page project description. You've got to have a support letter from an administrator. We want to be sure that your administration is going to let you submit this proposal, that they know about it, they know what's coming, they see the importance for the college. So again, that we need to name the names of the faculty members and others who are attending the virtual workshop. Another unique thing a little bit about ours is because of their virtual, we have no limit on the number of participants that can participate. Only two can get the stipends, but we've had teams as big as eight who've participated in these virtual workshops. And so there is no limit. Again, you do, the workshop itself is required though, to, as part of it. So if you want some information, just contact one of the three of us on the screen here, or go actually to the ATE Mentor Up website. Next slide, last one. Just to kind of tell you what's going on here, here's just two testimonies from two of our formal participants. Shelley Banfield at Santa Fe College says that without this kind of help, all these co-PIs and new co-PIs and PIs who were new, and again, that was a team of about eight, wouldn't have been able to navigate the process from project concept. They kind of came up with this concept to awarded proposal. And Bonnie Kelly says that the mentoring really made a difference between writing a proposal and presenting a fundable project. So again, our five-year success rate for our Mentor Up participants is about 72%. And then again, those who submit the you know, the draft proposal to either to their mentor and then to Kathleen or myself goes up even much higher. So again, I welcome calls, but thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Liz. As Pam said, we'll hold the questions toward the end. We have a 15 minutes yet, and I'd like to have a few minutes to talk about FORCE ATE, which is Fortifying Cybersecurity and Computing Education Through ATE Grants. We are another mentoring initiatives, but how we differentiate ourselves is we focus on all disciplines of cybersecurity and computing. We have a deep bench of expertise in these two fields, cybersecurity and computing. IT, information technology, up and coming AI, artificial intelligence and machine learning, IoT and IIoT, industrial Internet of Things. We had a proposal that was talking about drone security. We had a proposal about the intersection of cybersecurity with vehicles. We had someone want to do a proposal on smart home security. We do secure coding and anything security, anything computing, we can do. So we have a lot of our experienced mentors are either computer science or IT faculty who have had grants. We also have someone from the National Institute of Standards and Technology out of Gaithersburg, Maryland, who works on the NICE framework, which is the National Security, NICE, National Institute of Security Education Framework. So we do a lot in the cybersecurity and computing field. The other thing that differentiates FORCE is that our trained mentors have additional skills, and those are coaching skills. So we try to coach you through the intellectual merit, the more creative parts of the proposal, but we also then switch over to mentoring and help you with those forms that Elaine had mentioned earlier. So the coaching skills are recognized by the International Coaching Federation. So like Mentor Up, we have a little shorter runway than Mentor Connect. We work with the mentee team April through October, and October is the proposal submission deadline. But we're not done. You know, we work to that deadline, we take a breath, and then when our teams are recommended for funding, which we have dubbed, you're in the NSF tunnel, we will work with you to answer those questions. And then it's a very quick turnaround that the NSF program officer wants. Teams may not hear 3 to 6 months after they submit the proposal. We got some early awards. We had two of ours awarded, recommended for funding in December. So it did very well during the review process. And then we had another one in early January. So we are very proud of those teams. So we are going to have an in-person workshop, and ours is held June 10th through the 13th at Prince George's Community College, which is in Largo, Maryland, which is a short metro train ride to Washington, D.C. A lot of our teams elect to stay a little bit earlier and take advantage of going into D.C. We will provide travel and training stipends, workshop stipends provided for two faculty members and a dean. I wish we had deeper pockets to support a grant writer, but the grant writer is welcome. They have funding through their community college. So this is just some fun photos that we like to take. On the left, this is from our 2023 cohort at Prince George's Community College. So you can see our FORCE mentor coaches, that's what we call our mentors. You can see they're having a lot of fun, right? So our motto is we work hard, we have a lot of fun, and that positive energy spills over into our mentee teams. So we're very caring, we're very professional, and we want our mentee teams to succeed. On the right-hand side, you can see how large our cohort was last year. We had 15 teams, one team was returning, and we just heard that that returning team who did not get funded in the previous year got awarded. So we're really, really happy about that. I think I climbed up on the catwalk to take that picture in front of the theater there. So we have a lot of fun. And our testimony, I don't think you can get any better, is somebody just said best professional development ever. So we really have a lot of positive and good energy at the in-person workshop. Okay, so we have an online application. And the application is in that link, forceate.org/mentee-application. We are accepting applications through April Fool's Day, April 1st, with priority for those teams who submit their application early. Like Mentor Up, we require a commitment from a senior administrator, a vice president, or president to make sure that when the faculty embark upon this journey of writing and learning, that when you get to the end, they will not override the submission to the NSF. And unfortunately, that has happened in the past. So that's why we require a letter. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me at my Gmail address that's on the slide, ekhawthorne@gmail.com. And if you're out on social media and you're connected with the SIPI STEM project, you'll see this post that's out there. Join the cohort by April 1st. Mentors and stipends will be provided, and we have the link down there. In like the other mentoring initiatives, we also have a very good success rate. We kind of all took a little dive during right after the pandemic, the global pandemic, but our range is between 70-82%. So like was said previously, it really, really makes a difference if you join one of these mentoring initiatives. It doesn't matter which one, but if you want to have a better chance of being successful, link up, connect with one of our mentoring initiatives. And we're all here to help build the ATE community and help you. Okay. All right. So that's it for the mentoring initiative. So why don't we open up Pam for any questions, and then I'll do my infomercial a little bit later. So we have about 10 minutes.
Okay. One of the questions was, do any of these mentoring initiatives cost any money to the college that is getting the mentoring? And I answered in the chat that they were all that the ATE funding provided all the costs to that the college had no cost. But I don't know if Liz, Elaine, or Beth, if any of you want to add anything else to that.
I'll just add from the FORCE perspective, we do not fund the grant writer to participate in the in-person workshop, but you know, they're welcome to participate on Zoom calls with our Mentor Connect. So that would be the only thing that if you come to FORCE, we wouldn't be able to supply that.
Well, we have no charge. In fact, it's the opposite. We provide funds to the faculty, you know, because faculty are busy and we know it's not a full support to it, but it kind of lets them know how much we appreciate it. So not only is there no charge to the college, there are some funds provided to the faculty. And in fact, all of us, all of three initiatives you talked about today do provide stipends to the faculty.
Okay.
I saw another question in there. I think a little bit about what type institutions were eligible. And so,
yeah, I was going to ask that, but I'll let you go ahead and answer and then give Elaine and Beth both the opportunity also.
That's good. You know, Mentor Up does anybody that's got an idea for a technician education program. So they can be, the college can be new, the teams can be new, but they could have had as lots of grants because the program keeps changing. People bring in new partners. So, you know, traditionally what we've supported is about a third of them will be new to ATE and about two thirds will be one where the college or some members of the team have had some funding before, but not the whole, you know, so there really is no limit there. The big thing is it's got to be about technician education and a good idea.
And Elaine, how about Mentor Connect?
Very similar. We started out focused just on institutions that were eligible for the small projects for institutions new to ATE. As I mentioned, we now have expanded it to faculty new to ATE. And if we work with someone that is moving up, we really think that they need to have been through one of these grant writing workshops that's delivered by one of the mentoring initiatives. It's very tough to work with a team that has not had the prior preparation. So when you move up with Mentor Connect, typically they have been through either the Mentor Connect cohort mentoring or one of the other initiatives for a previous grant. Where they have not had that experience, then we will refer them to Mentor Up or to FORCE ATE or to one of the ones that will provide the workshop, because you really need that grant development experience going into this. Where we kind of draw the line is with universities. ATE is really focused on the two-year colleges. And while we don't discourage our two-year colleges from having partnerships with universities, we really are a capacity building for two-year colleges. And so we want the grantee institution to be a two-year college. And I think Liz mentioned earlier that these projects do have to be focused on 4-credit courses. So when we turn somebody down, it's typically because they are in the continuing ed arena and did not want to work on 4-credit courses, or it was a university and they just didn't meet the parameters of what we're funded to do. But we work collaboratively together, and if one of us can't help you, we will refer you to one of the others that can.
And Beth, how about, I know that Force ATE is a little bit different in that you had said yours needs to have something related to IT or security, which I think everything relates to security anymore.
Yeah, fortunately or unfortunately not, depending on where you sit on that fence. The only thing, I agree with everything that Dr. Tellis and Elaine Kraft has said. I think the other thing that we should mention is that the ATE program does not fund healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. So that, I think that's the only other thing that I would add to that. We've had people who want to improve their nursing program or their prosthetic development program, and unfortunately we have to turn them down. So Pam, I believe we have time for one more question because I need time for a poll.
Right, and so I was looking at it. I think we've answered the one on semiconductor related would be either Mentor Up or Mentor Connect, and the eligibility. And someone asked what the accept rate was. And I think that everyone has mentioned, if they can figure out a way to help you, that they're going to. So it is that they have the number listed in their grant, but if they can find a mentor, they're all going to work with you. So definitely talk to any of the initiatives about what they can do. And Beth, are you going to talk both accessing the presentation and a survey or anything like that? And if you still have questions, I think our presenters will stay on a few minutes after Beth does hers to take any last questions. So if we didn't ask something, please put it in the chat.
Yep, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so before we get to our poll, I just wanted to let you know about some upcoming webcasts and the Thought Leaders Dialogue that is being put on by the SIPI STEM Project. So we have one basically every month, one SIPI cast. So the next one will be on Friday, February 23rd, same time. And we're going to be talking about the NSFAT labor and economic impact. We've really, and it goes to what everyone was saying today about workforce development and technician education. The next one is on March 22nd, and we're talking about ATE collaborations and models at work. April 26th is very specific to the SIPI STEM project. We fund fellows that are working on, who are pursuing their graduate degree, mostly at the doctoral level, and we fund them to get through their schooling, and we pair them with a mentor, and we also help them grow in their academic leadership at the community college. It's a really, really unique opportunity. So tune into that. We have 7 new fellows for this year. We had 6 last year. And then lastly, we would like to invite everyone to the second Thought Leaders Dialogue on Friday, February 9th from noon to 1:30. You can go to the SIPI STEM website and you can just RSVP there. You can also see under upcoming events, we had a first Thought Leaders Dialogue, and the report is out there. Okay, so let me launch the poll and take any. We have maybe another question or so while I'm launching the poll. Pam? So let me launch the poll.
And I'll let the poll get launched. So please answer it. And there are multiple questions, so please scroll down and answer all of the questions. And first of all, Beth, will people be able to access the presentation?
Yes, they will. So what we do is we send our recording to a video editor, and that takes anywhere between 7 and 14 days. So that'll be up on the SIPI website. And I will put that link in the chat. The video will be there, but we also strip out the video in case people want to just listen to a podcast. Right after this meeting, the slides will be up there. So slides will be there immediately.
And I will tell you, Beth, I did notice that the recording got paused for a couple of minutes in the middle. I'm not sure how that happened, but you might have a gap of a minute or two in the recording when people see it.
I
Um,
noticed
just
that too.
yeah, just to let people, if they're going, wait, what's wrong with it? Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to ask AI if they can fill in the missing spots or something with it. So anyway, if I think I asked all the questions. I don't know if Beth, if you, Elaine, or Liz want to have any last minute, what you thought maybe people were asking or something you'd like to include as we're logging off. Thanks to everyone who's doing the poll. I will tell you, only 20 of you have done it so far. So please do complete the poll and hit the submit. You have to scroll down to answer all the questions. When you get your ATE funding, you'll find out that there is a so what asked frequently is okay, you had a webinar, so what? The survey helps us do that so what question.
And they're rolling in. We're up to almost 30 participants. So they're coming in. 31.
Okay.
I
So
want to add a little bit to the healthcare things. No, we can't support but it doesn't mean that hospitals and things like that can't be one of the employers because they employ a lot of IT professionals. It's becoming a lot of security professionals now work in health-related jobs. So NSF doesn't support what are called the clinical sciences, but that doesn't mean that those aren't important employers in your region.
And Elaine, did you have any
Okay.
last thoughts?
Let me just say one quick thing
Beth,
here.
sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. No problem. So we have 46 people answering the poll. And so keep them coming. I'm going to close the poll in about 1 minute. But Elaine, did you? Pam was trying to pass the ball to you, so don't let me intercept.
Applying to one of these mentoring initiatives is probably the easiest thing that you will do because we will be happy to help you with that. If you're interested, just reach out to us. We'll help you fill out the application. So don't let that be a barrier. And we do try to help everybody that reaches us that's eligible and wants to work on an ATE eligible project.
And somebody did send me an individual message, and I think I'm going to ask it, even though I did answer them. Do you have to participate in a mentoring initiative to apply for an ATE grant? And I did answer no, but that you definitely should participate in one of these mentoring initiatives. So, yes, a school can try to do it alone, but that's kind of like if you sent your kid out with their bike and say, learn how to ride your bike, some of them might succeed. But I don't think that would be the best way to learn how to do it, or do kids learn how to tie shoes anymore? Someone showing and assisting can make it a lot less painful of a journey.
Yeah, I can share my personal experience when I was at Union County College. My colleague, who was a chair of the math department, Cindy and I tried two times to submit a grant to the ATE proposal and failed miserably, right? I think we may have got a good, right? And you really need very goods and excellence to get funded. First, and I'm a prodigy of Mentor Connect. I think I was in your third cohort in 2015, and bam. Got it. Third time was the charm. So without a mentoring initiative, I don't think I would be moderating this panel today. So my heart is out to Mentor Connect. And I'm going
Yeah,
to close the
it's a,
poll with 48
there are a lot of
responses.
nuances, a lot of nuances to funding programs, and you just can't pull it all out of the printed material. So help is a good thing.
And thanks to everyone who completed the poll. And as people are leaving, if you do have any last questions or anything, definitely put them in. I'm still watching the chat, but we do definitely appreciate the part. And I just got a again a one directly to me, but it's, do you have many academic faculty who get involved with mentoring for technical programs? And I think because of Mentor Connect's part is that you had to have been a PI for a grant, and that is to be a PI for NSF ATE, you have to be a faculty. So all of our mentors in Mentor Connect have been faculty at some point in a technical program. I think that people have expanded. Liz, you also have, of course, program officers and everything, but you also were a technical faculty at one point.
Well, for example, we have seen, for example, although to me, technical faculty are also, you know, the kind of faculty too, but we've supported math projects as long as they really do impact technician education. Now, one reason math projects sometimes fail, particularly developmental math projects, is they never mention that they're going to try to make these relevant or more important for these technical programs. So a lot of times, you know, a biology faculty will be involved in a biotech program, or our manufacturing program will have some math faculty or some chemistry faculty involved. So clearly, it's just up to you to show the importance of these people in the proposal that we're here to help. And I think all of us, a group of us said we'd stay on in case there are some just questions you want to ask. So,
and a person has put that they understand it doesn't support nursing programs, but will cover science department with an emphasis on health prerequisite courses for ATE.
It's really focused on those students that are going into what I call ATE eligible programs and who are preparing to go directly into the workforce in those STEM programs that are not delivering healthcare. If a prerequisite course, gen ed course, is serving both populations, as long as you're improving it in specific ways to help the technician, future technicians, if the other students benefit as well, that's fine. But it needs to be focused on getting these technicians out into the workforce. Liz, you may want to say something else about that.
No, I think that covers it. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, people in a biotech program are fulfilling a gen ed requirement as well as trying to become a biotech technician. And in fact, that's sometimes a good way to recruit them for those programs, right? That we're taking the people in the gen ed courses and stuff like that. So, you know, and this is the kind of questions you should ask, though, because you don't want to spend 6 months writing a proposal to find out it isn't something that's eligible. You know, so.
And I think that's one of the things all the mentoring programs do really well is to make sure at the beginning that you're on track for something that is within the ATE wheelhouse, because there are other funding items. One thing that wasn't mentioned here is that ATE does not fund scholarships. But if I asked anyone who was presenting today, oh, well, what if we need scholarships for our STEM students? You would all mention SSTEM. So there are programs out there that people know about. So that's one of the great things about the mentoring programs is you talk to people. And I think what I was told one time was NIH does healthcare. So if you have a great idea, it just means ATE doesn't fund it. It doesn't mean you can't get a grant someplace, but you want to apply to the right organization.
And in fact, though, you know, one person, one of the, a former NSF, a former ATE program thing, Pushpa, might get a wrong last name wrong, is now at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. She's a program officer there. So, you know, and then NIH had something called Bridges to the Baccalaureate, which is definitely designed for two-year colleges specifically for the nursing thing. Now, you know, I'm not going to be an expert in any of those, but I would tell you, you could go out and try to find out those two yourself. So,
yeah, another one is
college. Go ahead. One last thing, Elaine, then I'm going to thank everybody for their time.
Certainly.
Go ahead, Elaine.
College transfer is not the goal of ATE. As Liz mentioned early on, having pathways where these students can continue their education is always a good idea, and ATE certainly supports that. But the project cannot be focused on college transfer. It really needs to be preparing these students with the skills and knowledge, certifications, degrees, whatever, to go directly into the workforce with the completion of the programs at the two-year college.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. And thank you to Dr. Tellis for presenting. We're 10 minutes over, so I'm going to thank everybody for joining us today. And please get in touch with one of the mentoring initiatives. Thank you, Dr. Wimbish, who is the chair of the Southwest region of SIPPI CAPS, of SIPPI Network, I'm sorry. And we'll see you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
And if
And join
people
us
want to
again
stay
for
on
another
for one
SIPPI
last
CAPS.
question, we are going to answer one last question, but please feel free to leave her if you want to know the answer. Can a college have more than one ATE grant at a time?
Absolutely. You can have as many as you can get funded and have depth on the bench to support.